ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case. I'm the host of the show, and I am super excited to be here again to have another amazing conversation with you. Today, we're going to be talking all about energy and intuition, and I'm excited that my friend Cindy Dale is back to bring her amazing talent and knowledge to this topic, which I think is going to be pretty cool. And so to get started, what I want to do today, something a little different, just to sort of feed and whet your appetite. I want to talk about intuition for just a second. And as I tend to do when I'm looking into specific ideas, I like to find out how we define things in the collective so that as we look at them, we can begin to fine tune how we understand them a little differently. So here's what I found. Intuition, the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning, bridging the gap between the conscious and non-conscious parts of the mind. And then a second one added to that, the different fields use the word intuition in very different ways. Direct access to unconscious knowledge, unconscious cognition, inner sensing, inner sight to unconscious pattern recognition. So I think we're going to have a little field day with this, but but it's an interesting definition, and I'm curious and kind of, it's interesting. So today we're going to talk about this idea of intuition being a gateway, and the gateway is important because, what did I do with this? I'm losing myself here. Okay, the gateway to simplicity, and the reason I'm focusing into this is that I see intuition as a very powerful form of communication, and we're going to dive into that a lot. And as a form of communication, this definition actually creates a whole different dynamic that I hadn't anticipated, so it's going to be fun to talk about that. So we're going to do that on the other side of the break. Bear with me, and we will be right back. All right, y'all, I'm taking advantage of this for as long as I can. Book release celebration anniversary. I am so excited that it has been a year since my book has come out, and every month of this year has seen an increase in sales, has seen more reviews, have gotten more feedback from y'all about the impact that you're having with the book, and that thrills me to no end. But I want to celebrate it. I want to acknowledge it. I want to thank you all who have purchased, who have read, who have engaged with the book. If you haven't yet, I encourage you, go to www.fearsofchoicebook.com. There are links there to Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and Amazon so that you can order your copy. Great read. And even more important is the impact that it can have in your world, because I truly believe that this book can change your relationship with fear and does change your relationship with fear. Because as you read it, you begin to engage in your own inner process. And it's one of the things in writing it that was very important to me, that at every juncture, you have the opportunity to take it in and experience it in the context of your own fear relationship, in your own thought process about how you handle fear, and then walking through that so that by the end of it, you have a clear understanding of how you can change your relationship, and hopefully then reaching out in your own world, in your own life, to create those changes. So www.fearsofchoicebook.com. Check it out. I think you'll really like it. And if you have, since you've already gotten it, thank you very much. I appreciate you very much. And we'll be right back right after this. I'm struggling with the English language at this particular moment. We'll be right back right after this. Cracking myself up on this Friday afternoon. All right, the year of conscious creation. Here we are. Good Lord, we're 10 months into this year. I started this in January, and here we are 10 months later. And I got to tell you, my world is good. And I don't say that lightly. This has been an incredible evolution in this movement. And I hope those of you who have been with us, who have gotten into this movement, who have been participating in this movement in whatever way, shape, or form that you do, that you have begun to see the changes in your world too. Remember that perception is nothing more than the reflection. I call it a feedback loop. Our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs, our ideas, we project them into the environment and then we get feedback about them. And that feedback is what informs our perception. So when you get into my world is good, when you step into that consciousness and you bring that into your world, then as each of us come together in our own worlds, we harmonize in that field and we have the ability to create a powerful tipping point. And the thing to understand is that that doesn't mean that everything's going to look glorious and fabulous to you every minute of every day. Because remember, if you are not in that space of goodness, if you're not in that space of connection, it's going to take some time to be from where you are vibrationally to where you want to be vibrationally. And so the things that are in the way of that have to change between here and there. So if it looks a little bombastic or it looks a little crazy for a period, that's okay. Being focused into my world is good enables you to see through all of that nonsense to the goodness that is creating in the process. So you are connected to that goodness and it is inexorably driving you forward through, past, around, over, under, and whatever other way there is to navigate through the things that are in the way of that for you to experience it. And so as you continue to focus into that goodness and my world is good, you continue to expand that consciousness. And the consciousness that doesn't serve begins to diminish and dwindle because as you surrender it, you move into a larger state. So 10 times in the morning when you wake up, 10 times at the end of the day, and then use it throughout the day if you find your alignment getting a little wonky. Just stop. Take a deep breath or two or three and focus into that appreciation space. Anything you can find in the world. It could be a squirrel on the sidewalk in front of you. It could be a kid's marking on the sidewalk in front of you that stimulates an amazing memory of something. Whatever it is, find that space of appreciation. And my world is good. Let it change your field right then and there so that you can get into that alignment, change where you are in that process, and then move beyond it into the next best space. My world is good. My world is good. I encourage you to stick with it. I encourage you to continue. We will continue. I use it every day, and I encourage you to use it every day as well. And we'll be right back with Cindy right after this quick break. We'll be right back. All right, y'all. Before I bring Cindy in, let me tell you a little bit about her. Those of you who have not gotten to meet Cindy just yet, on the show. So give me just a second here. All right. Cindy Dale is an internationally renowned author, speaker, healer, and business consultant, and the author of 27 books about energy medicine, intuition, and spirituality. In addition, she has worked with over 70,000 clients and presented hundreds of seminars and workshops across the Americas and all over the world, Russia, England, Wales, Amsterdam, Iceland, Costa Rica, Belize, Morocco, Peru, Scotland, and so many more. She is also a favorite teacher and healer for China, leading in-person and online classes, and has been published in over 17 languages. That's pretty impressive. But let me bring Cindy in because she's an amazing human being and I'm thrilled that she's here. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, I'm really happy to be here. And I am not speaking from China or Costa Rica or Belize. I'm sitting in my basement in Bloomington, Minnesota. Right? We all have to be from somewhere.
Exactly. And I have to tell you again how much I love your back. What you set up for yourself for this is just, the colors are beautiful. They suit you. It just looks amazing. So
I had those pieces painted specifically so I could wear the tops that I wanted to.
Brilliant.
So I had the paintings done to match my clothes.
And why not?
Why not? We spend most of our time in our basement these days. So
I mean, who am I kidding? I stand in front of my closet before every show going, what color am I feeling today? Okay, got the backdrop.
Totally.
And every time it's something, it's got to be. I'll take off my shirt 3 or 4 times before I find the one that just feels right for what I'm doing.
Well, that's intuition right there, right? It's got to like line us up. It's true though. We got to have that feeling of alignment or we're just going to blow it.
Exactly. I totally agree. So, in total transparency, I did warn you I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it. So what did you think about that definition of intuition?
Oh my gosh. Well, you threw a couple up there and I saw a lot of words similar to conscious, unconscious.
Yeah.
Right?
I threw it back up if you want to.
Lots of unconsciousness in there. Looking at patterns. Another of the definitions used the word mind. You know, and I'm kind of like, first of all, the only way that first definition works, where we become conscious of what's in our unconscious mind, is dependent on how you define mind. Because I have a feeling whoever wrote those definitions is thinking brain, and it's like really not the brain. The brain's part of it, but I think of mind as non-local and, you know, kind of all about 99.999% of reality that is subtle. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's about patterns. Let me say that. Because, I mean, intuition sees the bigger pattern, like the quantum web, the spirit pattern. But I'm wondering where those words are, you know, kind of like the greater interconnectivity or the oneness or our spirit or our soul. I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes it sound so boring. You're just kind of trying to think about the things that you don't know you're thinking about. That's what I did with the definition.
Yeah. And you know, I'm going to take that, but don't mind me. I'm looking for the intro that I wrote for the show because I wanted to, there were some things in there I wanted to
touch on.
So I love what you said about that because one, I very much see the brain, nothing more as a transmitter and a receiver. It's information. It's a computer. It's information in, information out. It just happens to be soft material. But I'm not meaning to somehow diminish what this organ is, but in essence. So hearing that definition, I kind of scratched my head going, that's not how I see intuition even a little bit. It's so vastly different from that because when you talk about mind, I'm thinking universal mind, not this brain thing, because mind, like you said, is non-local. It's part of what I think we work on a daily basis as we work to get into alignment. The more we spin our vibration, the more access we have to more information that is non-local. And so that to me really speaks to one of the major things about intuition. But I'm going to segue this a little bit because the thing that's important to me in that is how we can use this as a form and how we should be using it as a form of communication. And the reason I say that, and I'm sorry, I don't memorize these things when I write them. So I picked the wrong one. Here we go. We communicate in so many ways. So we communicate in our tone. We communicate with our energy. We communicate with our bodies, our eyes, our word choices. And I'm sure you have a few that I don't even have listed here. But again, I think it's the difference between unconscious and conscious. It's interesting the definition uses that in terms of just the brain, the warehouse and the stuff that's in present. But to me, unconscious versus conscious is exactly that, being unconscious versus being conscious. When you're unconscious, intuition is not really in play very much. You may have it as a gut feeling here or there, but it doesn't show up as something like I believe an experience, that it is something that is a part of my life every day, all the time. I want to live there because that connects me in a way to understanding and clarity and seeing my own patterns from a very different perspective. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. To me, it's a spirit piece. And it's not, that doesn't mean religion, you know, right. And I think these days people are getting beyond thinking there has to be a boundary, you know, kind of a book that goes with, you know, kind of being spiritual, but it's about being full of your own spirit, my own essence, which is distinct, unique from yours, Jim's, from Honey, from Lucky's, from Michael's, from, you know, we have this, you know, kind of like this amazing individuality that's still kind of merged into whatever else there is that's beautiful, you know, as well. Intuition is what helps us negotiate that, I think, our spirit, do the bridging of our spirit into our bodies and our everyday lives. And that includes into other people's everyday lives, you know, and their own spirit. So it's a beautiful mechanism through which our spirit comes to understand who we are and helps us be more of who we are. And I love that in the promo, you use the word simple. When I'm listening or feeling or acknowledging or getting an image from my intuition, it really is pretty simple. It's the brain that complicates it, that sits down and starts arguing, you know, and goes, oh, no, well, that doesn't make any sense. And the intuitive spirit goes, so what? Right.
Well, and because intuition has nothing to do with story. Intuition has nothing to do with whatever drama you've built up around or whatever story you've created about or whatever. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. But one of the things you did say that I think really ties into the communication piece is it is the access to that greater or higher knowledge that you were talking about. That's communication. That's powerful communication. That is, I'm seeking, I'm desiring, I'm contemplating, I'm whatever I'm doing, and I want to have a greater understanding of what I'm experiencing, not the storied version of what's happening.
And it's two ways. You're saying that, Jim, when you use your communication, most of us focus on, what's the universe trying to tell me? Or what's my puppy trying to tell me? Or does this guy or gal like me? What can I pick up? It is incoming. It's also outgoing. So we're sharing information too. It's a two-way, 10-way, 1,000-way fold.
It's everywhere. That's great. So what we're going to do, I'm going to take a quick break here to kind of segue us into that moment of focus. And we're going to dive into a little bit more about how we communicate on the other side of that. So I will be right back with you again as we go into focus, and we'll be right back. All right, guys. Taking this moment of focus, this is an important part of the show to me because this, for me, is where the rubber meets the road. This is my agreement to assist in any way to help build a daily practice, to help people step into every day, finding a way to connect and align and to build those lines of communication within the intuitive cycles and within the intuitive range, whatever that is. I think that the intuitive range continues to expand and grow as we do. and so this process of focusing is so many layers. You know, this is where two or more gathered. We're focusing our energy into this concept of intuition and intuition as a gateway to simplicity. And as we contribute our energy to that, all of us, those of you listening, those of you watching, it adds all that energy and all that experience and all that knowledge to the understanding of this. And then hopefully, because we also work to be in connection and communication, that energy translates. And those, whether you ask questions directly or not, we begin to answer those questions because we're connecting to that energy as we're talking. And that shows up in ways that I think are pretty powerful where, you know, Cindy may be saying something or I may be saying something and something trips in the brain where I'm hearing the audience have a thought. I literally have that experience and I think that way. It's kind of bizarre, but I think that it's kind of normal for me because that means, oh, good, here's some more information that I think could help color this in a way that more people can experience it. So with that, am I babbling? Let's take a deep breath. Deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. A deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And today we're going to do something a little different. And I hope they don't find this too weird, but I think it's a powerful, powerful process. And I think it also helps us focus, but it's going to lift energy in a way that I haven't done on the show before. And I know it's been used before. Some call it laughter therapy. But I've been using it a lot in my life of late. And I'd like to share it with you because I think it's very powerful. But it's going to start in a place that you're probably not going to be terribly comfortable with, and that's okay. But again, just continuing to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth as you focus yourself. And so what we're going to do today is I want you to bring to mind, as you're listening to this, something that is causing a rub in your energy, something that is causing agitation, something that you are dissatisfied with, something that you are unhappy about, something that you don't feel good about. Let's leave it there. Something you don't feel good about. I want you to bring that thing into your space right now. And I want you to sit in that thing in your space right now. I want you to feel it. I want you to feel the feelings of it. I want you to get in. I want your mind to start looping about it. Just let it come up. Trust me, I'm going to walk you out of this. I'm not going to take you into a space and leave you there. So trust that we're going to walk through this together, but it's going to be much easier than you think it is. So as you're in that space, right, this is the story. This is where story happens, right? You get into this space, and again, continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth as you listen to my voice. Go into that thing, whatever it is. Is it a relationship thing? Is it a work thing? What is it? Focus into it. Focus into what you don't feel good about it. Let your mind do the spin. Let the spin cycle start and feel all those things that are going on in your system while that spin cycle is starting. Right? It's uncomfortable. It gets you agitated. It gets you, you know, you start to feel a little edgy. Maybe you feel a little combative, or maybe conversely, you feel like you want to withdraw and go hide and you feel miserable and you feel puny or whatever it is you're feeling. And as you're sitting there now, I want you to open your body. I want you to find a way to just let your body be open. Like you see mine, or if you don't see mine, shoulders are back, arms are down, open, hands are open. Everything is relaxed as you continue to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to just breathe and then just follow me. And there is nothing more to do here than to focus into your joy. And in focusing into your joy, I want you to begin to manufacture laughter. Watch me. And at first, the feeling is kind of like, yeah, fuck you. Pardon my French, but you get my point. You're in it, right? You're like, what am I going to laugh about this for? Just do it. Laugh. Let yourself laugh as fake and as ridiculous as you can make it sound. Let it go. Let the anger come out in your laugh. Feel the pain in your laugh. Stay with it. Just keep laughing. And just let yourself go. Let yourself feel silly. Just laugh yourself silly. Let it just go. Just dive into the feeling of that laughter. Feel it moving through you. Breathe into it. And laugh some more. And sometimes it feels fake, and that's okay. And then you tap into something that just completely changes the energy. And you're suddenly feeling very different. And just continue to laugh. Stay in that space of laughter. Feel it deeply. Let it rumble through you. And notice how different you feel right now in this moment. No story, no drama, no nonsense. Just laugh, just joy in this moment. You can call back that drama anytime you want to. You just did it. But you also just released it. You just surrendered that crap out to no, it's gone. It is gone. It'll only come back if you choose to. And it gets to be funny for me because when you start to think, when you allow the dumb thoughts that go on in your brain to continue, they sound so stupid. And you're just like, what am I doing? And so it makes me laugh even more because it's crazy. So anyway, Now I'm overheated. Oh, but it, and again, go ahead and breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth as you're able to. And let the laughter continue. Don't diminish it. Let it continue. You could go on laughing for minutes or for more minutes and more minutes. It's just all of that intensity releasing. It's a way to release energy. When you have something that you don't know what to do with, laugh at it. Just find a way to laugh at it and let the energy go, because you're holding on to it is not allowing you to find solution or find a bigger space to be in. And what a greater way to do that than to feel the joy of your joy and connect to your love and joy in that absolute moment and enjoy it. It doesn't mean that thing is healed, but you've taken your intensity off it. So you give the ability to yourself to seek more solutions, to open to greater potential and opportunity. That's what it's all about. And to bring this to a close, let's just focus again into the breath, in through the nose and out through the mouth. Oh, and if the laughter is continuing, please allow it to continue. Let yourself release as deeply and as powerfully as you possibly can. And let that continue. And we're going to bring Cindy back in, and we're going to continue the conversation. I know that was bizarre, but I hope you were able to go from the beginning through and out the other side. And if you haven't, continue to laugh. Stay in the laughter. It will shift your energy. It's not going to solve the problem. It will solve your energy for now, because the mind is going to want to we built a story. It's okay. Every time it comes up, laugh at it. And each time you do, it takes a little longer for it to come back if you're calling on it again. Otherwise, you can move on and you probably won't think about it again because it's gone. And something will show up in your world that will help you solve whatever that thing is. So anyway, thank you for indulging me. I hope that you found that powerful. We're going to carry on our conversation.
Sorry.
I was really on the fence about that one, but I just couldn't not do it.
I think it's great. I laugh a lot. I laugh with the dogs. I laugh at the TV. I laugh in my car. I laugh when I'm teaching. It's a medicine. Do you remember the Mary Poppins? You know, I love to laugh. That's all since I've been 4 years old. That's been my favorite scene in any movie, right? Floating up at the ceiling laughing.
Yes.
I was so sad when they came down.
Yes.
When I was a little kid, we went to the drive-ins to watch Mary Poppins. And I'm like, well, why is he coming down? Why doesn't he just stay up there?
Stay there. Keep laughing. Keep going. Yeah.
A lot more fun up there.
Yes. Absolutely that. So good. So we've lightened a little bit here as we dive into this intuitive process. And so I want to talk about how we communicate. And when I say how we communicate, as I alluded to there, there's so many ways that we communicate that have nothing to do with the words that come out of our mouth. And the words that come out of our mouth is one of many ways. And as we were saying, this intuition is a gateway to simplicity. Why that was so profound to me is exactly because of the communication process, is that when I'm dialed into my intuition and I'm connecting about things that I want to understand more deeply or need to have practical real world understanding of, like sooner now, there is a process that happens, and that process is without story. It's just a direct, it's like picking up the bat phone, you know, and like, we need help, you know, and help arrives. And if I'm in that communicative process, then it's easy. It's simple. The solutions are simple. It's not this complicated go left, turn right, take three steps, go this way, go that way. It's not following a trail of breadcrumbs that you may or may not find. It's simple, direct communication.
It is. It's really simple. And when my intuition is like speaking to or giving me images or senses or pictures, it's actually usually like shorthand. It's very short. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, 2-3 weeks ago, I had one of my publishers contact me and say, we would love to have you write a series of little chakra books. And I wrote them back and I said, oh, I had that vision 20 years ago. I had that picture. I woke up one morning and I just saw these little chakra books. And I'm like, oh, I wonder when I'm going to get that contract. Well, it's 20 years later.
Yeah.
right? But it wasn't about time. It was just sort of like, stick that in the back of your mind. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. You know, when the door opens, you're just going to know that you're supposed to say yes. So it gives us all the clues we need to when are we supposed to sit? When do we stand? When do we walk? When do we smile, right? When do we get the heck out of the way? And you know, as long as I don't want to use the word listen all the time, because we tend to use the word, are you listening to your intuition? And it really isn't always verbal. Mm-hmm. It can be gut, pictures, knowing, you know, your body just starts to shake and it's not fear, right?
Right.
Like, it's like, oh my gosh, something really important is going to happen. And it is simple because it's communicating typically just a message.
Yeah. And you bring to mind something that I think is also important to understand about intuition is that just like communicating from words, there are levels or not levels, maybe not be the right word. Maybe you have a better word, but there's tiers or levels to this communication. Sometimes the intuition is nothing more than a whisper. Sometimes it's nothing more than a here. Other times it's a full on download. Other times it's, as you were talking about, there's everything in there is contained and you can actually explore it. You can go into it and you can touch parts of it to get more deeper understanding of this concept that's dropped into your head. Because when it drops in, it's fully realized. You don't have to go anywhere. You could take it as is, or you can even go deeper if you prefer to.
I'm so glad you spoke it that way. It's like a poem. That's what it is. I was an English major and we read poems, you know, the haiku, the sonnet, the free verse. Mm-hmm. And you can just read the poem and go, oh, this is about somebody who just died. Or you can read the poem and it might have another layer. It may not. It might have a layer. This is about death. You read it again and this is about life. Mm. So, you know, it's up to us to, like you're saying, Jim, you know, how engaged do we want to get with that poem or that song?
That's awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about why intuition is important and necessary as we focus into this gateway to simplicity. When we come back, we're going to do a quick commercial break. Then Cindy's going to share some great things she has going on in her world. I'm going to give her a segment here to talk about all the great things happening at cindydale.com. And the world of Cindy Dale. So we will be right back right after this break. Wrong one.
You got to laugh.
I have two that look similar and I'm always like, don't hit the wrong one.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. Guys, www.thesciencetransformation.com. You know, one of the greatest inhibitors to intuition is fear. And fear is sort of what my platform is here, transforming fear. It's about changing your relationship with fear. The Science of Transformation is about that. It is about taking people through a process and a program of undoing, unraveling the energy that we have built around this consciousness of fear in our own lives, and about refocusing that energy into the parts of our anatomy and the parts of our physiology that are about expansion, that are about growth, that are about a life that is not encumbered by fear. And that's a process of disengagement. We've spent many, many years building that relationship. So it takes a little time to undo it. It doesn't take years necessarily. It depends on your intention and focus to create that change. But through the Science of Transformation, I have programs and sessions that I work with people and have for over a decade in helping them to change their relationship with fear and to transform their experience. So check it out, sciencetransformation.com. You can learn more about the program there. You can reach out to me if you'd like to set up a free consultation. And I also have an introductory package for the first two sessions. So I'd love to talk to you and share this with you. And on that note, we're going to bring Miss Cindy back into the mix here as she goes in to talk about what she has going on. Cindy, the floor is yours.
The floor is mine. I do want to give a thumbs up, though, for your work, Jim. I've had some sessions and it's amazing. Just absolutely terrific. So CindyDale.com, spelled weird, CYNDIDALE. This is a year of books. I've had a lot of books come out. A wonderful book on trauma, on food. I have another book coming out that will soon be on my website. That's a reissue of a book I put out 15 years ago. I love this book. It's called Advanced Chakra Healing. It's huge. It's like 800 pages. Sorry. But it's really kind of like, what's the nature of reality and how do you work within it? And I have a lot of classes. I'd love to have you just check out my classes, some of my products. I have a really wonderful advanced program coming out with the Shift Network in November. It's just getting set up on my site, and my own apprenticeship program, which will be starting in March of this year. So I think I like teaching more than anything, because it's a way of empowering, you know, kind of you to know who you are, to get in touch with your intuitive gifts. A lot of it's about intuition and energy and healing. And when I'm teaching, I often find my intuition works with me. Like, I learn things I didn't know. So I'll find myself talking and going, oh, in the future, they're going to heal this issue this way. So why don't you try it now? And I'm like, well, that's neat. That should go in a science book somewhere. A doctor should be listening to that. So love to have you check out my site, CindyDale.com.
You got this down. You got this down.
I got it.
That's it's great. Just Cindy, and I have also experienced Cindy's work, not to sound silly, but she's incredible. And if you haven't seen her on all of her social media and the daily tips that she gives and all the things she has to offer, definitely check out her website, because there's so many places and things that you can learn from an incredible fountain of information about how to learn more about your energy and how to use it and what it does and how it works, and in a very practical, very applied way that you can live in the world and still, you know, you're not going to go off into woo-woo land. Well, you may once you understand it, and that's okay.
But it's practical. Right? You learn a lot about baseball, because I have a son who plays baseball.
Yes.
And you learn a lot about my dogs. In fact, I was walking both my dogs about a week ago, and a woman stopped me on the road early in the morning. She goes, "Is that the famous Honey, the golden retriever from Facebook?"
Oh my goodness.
I have a feeling I'm getting eclipsed by my fellow life partners in the house.
isn't there an old adage that says never work with dogs or kids, because they'll always steal the show or something?
Take the show and you're done.
Yeah, that's right.
You're the frame, they're the picture.
Good stuff. All right. So we're talking today about intuition being the gateway to simplicity. And we've really focused into intuition. You know, it's a topic that gets talked about a lot. It gets used a lot. I like to take these ideas and these topics and really break them down in ways that we can understand them more completely in a very practical way. Because for me, intuition is the most practical way to operate in the world, not the woo-woo way to operate in the world. Because to Cindy's point, I'm blown away on a daily basis by the things that I come to understand through intuition that someone in my world, in my real world, will come up with and say, oh, did you know here's this book about this? Or did you know there's this topic, there's this whole course you can take about this? And because I didn't do the route of textbook learning. I didn't do the route of you know, getting degrees and doing that. I chose differently because that was not the path that appealed to me at the time. So my growth and evolution, and I mean, not that I don't read, I read a lot, but the point that I'm making is that I go through life from an experiential basis. We all do, but I tend to live there in that I step into experiences based on where they feel, how the energy is moving up, down, up, down. If the energy is up, I'm in. And then I learn about things that I didn't realize I didn't know about, or have all these new experiences and understandings about the relationship of energy and the understanding of how it works with people. And it has created an incredible tool for me working with clients, because I dial in very quickly and it's easy to go in and talk to people about what I'm experiencing, and they all go, what? You know what? And I know you have the same experience, because it seems otherworldly, but it's not, because what we know is the energy is right here, right now. And if we just be with this energy, there's going to be a communication that takes place. And if I'm willing to have that communication, then I can share it. And many times those communications are what the individual is unwilling to hear from themselves, but they're now willing to hear it from somebody else, because they have to have some authority telling them that what they're thinking and feeling is legitimate. Once that loop stops, you stop thinking in those ways. But the cool thing is that it's always available, and it happens all the time. It's happened numerous times in just conversation with Cindy and I. It happens with my husband. It happens with my friends, where something just clicks and you go, whoa, lights on. You know, so that's why I think it's so important and necessary. And I'm curious if you have similar ideas or even more ideas about that.
Well, I think almost all communication, since most of us is made out of subtle energy, which is the same as intuitive psychic energy, it is what is going on. I sometimes even teach it to people in a very kind of, I guess I'd almost say geeky structured way, because I work a lot with the chakras. Those are subtle energy centers that run different, you know, aspects of us, but they have their own unique, you know, set of, you know, kind of like authorities, physical, psychological, and spiritual. And each chakra functions on a band of frequencies. Yeah. We think of chakras as colors. The color is just a description of the frequencies that are coming in, getting interpreted, and then that which is subtle, which is going out. So each chakra is like its own intuitive think tank too. First chakra in the hips, it's very physical. It's bringing in intuitive data that is about density, that's about physicality, and it's sending that out. You jump to the heart chakra, that's in the heart. That's going to bring in information about healing. That's how you send out healing energies. And so sometimes it makes it easier for all of us, I think, to be okay with intuition and not feel so out of control with it, if we know we have steering wheels for it that are bringing something in that's spiritual, something in maybe this verbal or picture or feeling. And then it can be easier to categorize it. And don't I sound like a nerd?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Like I'm talking about something that's spiritual and I'm putting in buckets.
Yes.
But sometimes it's easier to get used to the bigness and the fluidity of who we are by starting with buckets too.
Yes. You said something. I saw a brilliant picture when you were talking. A brilliant meaning it was very clear in my mind. And the picture was of understanding this receiver and this tuner, and that it is inexorably tied to your core vibration. It is, what do I mean by that? What I mean is a tuner translated to a radio, AM, different frequency, lower bandwidth, FM, higher frequency, a little higher bandwidth. Then you go on to whatever the other ones are that are higher frequencies and higher bandwidths. If you tune into the, if you are in an unconscious place, if you are in a lower vibrational place, your core vibration is only tuning in to AM. So you're accessing AM frequencies. So those AM frequencies may be nothing more than the stories that you create, but the stories that other people create, because it's all part of the universal mind. It's all the crap that we've all thrown out there, right? And so as you tune and you change the frequency, you turn the dial, as you do more meditation, as you do more focused effort into stimulating this spin of your energy up, that as you move up in frequency, so too does your tuner. And so now you're not tuned into the dark, dank, negative or heavy lower vibrational fields that are the mass consciousness. You are piercing that mass consciousness and going, I'm saying higher because it's a higher frequency, but it's more, it's actually expanded. It's not higher, lower. It's bigger, grand, whatever the word is. I don't even know if I have a word for it, but
you need one.
but then as you do that, your frequency, as your core vibration changes, your tuner changes and your ability to tune into more fine tuned, more clear, less story, less stuff becomes even more powerful and more powerful. And it just keeps expanding to that in that way. And that picture for me says everything I need to know about why intuition is important to me. And that's why I love intuition, because that picture created such a satisfying experience of what this potentiality is. I'm not a scientist, but I know what I feel. I know what I experience. I know what I have lived. And when that connects in that way, that to me is not only deeply satisfying, but it's ridiculously simple. Because in here, I used a lot of words to describe it, but the drop in the picture, I understood it immediately. I didn't have to think about it. It was like, there was that understanding. And I went, oh, I can't wait to share that.
It's brilliant. And that discussion about what you're tuning to, when you tune from your spirit, your original self, your original signature, most of that stuff out there, it's just noise. It's riffraff. I had a client come in my house one time when I still worked out of my home. And she goes, there's like spirits in your house. And I was like, yeah, maybe. She goes, well, don't they bother you? I go, I don't even sense that they're here. I mean, if they could be useful and start cleaning the house, I would tune into them.
Exactly. If you could do something useful.
Right. But other than that, you know, it's just sort of like the wind, you know, blowing through the leaves. So most stuff isn't that applicable to us. Right. So some people are, they call themselves over intuitive or, you know, hyper aware. And that's really, you're the expert at this, to be honest, Jim, that's really about fear. That's about believing not from your spirit, but from a wounded self. You got to know everything that's happening and you really don't. No. You don't need to know much of any of that stuff out there.
Agreed. I've totally agreed. But I think that for me, just kind of completed that experience of why this is so important and necessary. This idea of our power is in our tuning. Our power is in our ability to assess where we are and say, wait a second, this information doesn't feel clear or clean. Let me ramp it up. Let me tune in a little different. Let me go do some breathing. Let me go do some yoga. Let me go for a walk in the woods. Let me go put my feet in the creek. Let me go do something to alter my space so that I can access a different frequency. And that really is the foundation of everything I think we both do in the end.
It is everything. You know? Even when I'm going to clean the house, to be honest.
But, and how simple is that? You know, I mean, simple in a really good way, because then, you know, if you stay in that space, then you just continue to evolve that space. And that's, and then your world begins to, as I talked about earlier, then your perception changes. What you see happening in the world, the feedback loop is completely different, because you're no longer throwing out bombs and getting back bomb blast. You know, you're doing something different.
Yeah, you're bringing in from your authentic self. That's that's the key. Is if I'm being authentic, right? Then what I receive is going to be suitable to support that. Because there is a lot of stuff, and I kind of run by my own rule. Is in my everyday life, I want to receive. I want to become aware of something if it's important for me or a loved one. That's just sort of my rule. Right. And, you know, it's my kids. So with my youngest, I get lots of data because I'm very involved with his baseball career. With my oldest, he doesn't want mom mucking in his energy. The data that I get is what presents to buy for him and his partner. No kidding. I outfitted their kitchen with get the red Breville waffle maker. And they love it. After a few times of that, they don't even, you know, I'll say, what do you guys need? They'll go, we're not telling you what we need.
That's fantastic.
It's a real story too.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. I love that. All right. So carrying on, we say, okay, so here's this intuition thing. And you guys are talking about it. And I get it. And I think I have it sometimes. And I think I try to tile into it. So what can I do to stimulate my intuition? How do I do that? And there are probably lots of ways. For me, about stimulating the intuition is many of the things that we've talked about. When I say stimulating the intuition, it's already there. It's just waiting for you to say, okay, come on in. It's already happening. All of that stuff is already there. You're putting your straw in the juice and you're saying, okay, I want some of that juice. So stimulating it is a bit of an illusion because it's already there. So, but we want to know, how do I connect? How do I do that? How do I do that from here? I'll let you start this one if you'd like, or I can continue.
Well, I'll throw in a couple things. I practice. I mean, if somebody's sort of like, not necessarily a novice, because like you're saying, we've been using our intuition always, but maybe a little, you know, kind of stumbling around it. Mm-hmm. I consider there's physical intuition, you know, physical empathy, which includes emotional, spiritual, which is sort of just conscious knowing. There's verbal, which can include hearing a song on the radio, not just mm-hmm. words in your head from a dead mm-hmm. person. And visual, which are pictures that you can also see, you know, your eye catches on something and it's like, oh, that's what I need to do next. Yes. So I like kind of those categories. And then sometimes I just deliberately practice. I'll go, what fruit should I buy for the week? And I'll just wait till I get a picture, or, you know, walk through the store and like feel out the different, you know, kind of areas, or what color of the blouse is, you know, what makes me feel good and takes my energy up and what takes my energy down. So mm-hmm. I think it's really important to have fun with it and make it
absolutely
like play. And those are categories you can use to help yourself do that.
And I love that, because I do the exact same. If I'm going to go, I know I got to go buy shoes. The day before, I'm putting it out. I'm like, oh, okay, shoes. I'm not sure what I'm going to get, but I know shoes are coming. So let me throw shoes out there in my energy and see what shows up. And sometimes it happens instantly. I'll get a store in my brain and I'll go, oh, okay, I'll just store that for later. Or it'll come the next day when I'm ready to go. And I'll just have this like, I really want to go here. I really want to go here. And I maybe have never been there before. It happened actually the last time I just bought shoes. I got a picture in my head of where I wanted to go. And it was a shoe store down 2-3 miles from here. And it's called Carnival Shoes. And then there's a place next to it called Big Five, which are all over the country, the sporting goods stores. And I drove into the parking lot, fully intending to go into Carnival Shoes to see what they had. And Big Five had a big banner in their window: shoe blowout, shoe sale, shoes going, get the shoes. Went in and bought 3 pairs of shoes for under $100 that are absolutely what I needed, absolutely what I wanted, and absolutely thrills me. And every day I wear them, I'm just like, I love these shoes. I love these shoes. The same thing happened with my car. The same thing. I use it as a form of communication always, because it is simple, because it's clean, and I don't have to worry about siphoning through stories. I just go, oh, cool. Move into it.
Yeah. So and it steers you. It doesn't always end up being what you think.
No.
Years and years ago, we have this whole thing about Honey, the golden retriever, who was first, as the first incarnation, was with my son's dad and his family, and he keeps appearing. Well, when I first had him, he died. He was a very busy dog, very loud dog, very busy dog. And I was not relieved that he died. It was just much quieter in the house. And then I'm sleeping a few years ago, and I hear this voice in my head that says, I'm coming back. You know, I got so many signs. So did my son. We probably had 14 signs. And I'm in this place of, oh my God, I'm tired. I'm a single mom. I'm running my own business. I can't have this soul back in again. You know what? You're just going to get the signs until you do the right thing. And I got Honey, the golden retriever, the third, right? And I adore him. I love him. I adore him. And he's the same dog. Yes. So you might as well just listen the first time.
You might as well. But that's and the cool thing is, that's part of the growth and evolution of tapping in. We're not trained to tap in, guys. We understand that. We're not, there are very few, like less than a percentage of the population probably, that ever gets taught about intuition from an early point in their lives to understand its importance and significance in everything we do. I feel very fortunate because throughout my life, it has been the core of my experience. So I've always felt this connection, this relationship with God in my life, always, as long as I can remember. And originally it was going to translate into becoming a priest. I went to a private Catholic college. I lived in the seminary for 6 months because I thought that's what this connection was about. Little did I know. I left home when I was 15 and a half, 16 years old. I had to rely on something that was greater than me to be alive at 57 years old now, because I had nothing. I had no skill. I was a kid, you know? But the cool thing is that as you use it more, it becomes more powerful, it becomes more clear, it becomes more normal. Let's use that word.
It does. It normalizes. And I've been on my own since 18, so I understand that. You don't know what you're doing, and you really know how to balance a checkbook. But it's like, I got to get an apartment. I got to get a job. I got to go here. I got to go there. And because I had that freedom and I was in touch with my intuition, I would follow it. I remember following it to go study with a shaman in Costa Rica. And then when I was in Costa Rica with a couple of friends, I was in a gold museum down there looking at this map, you know, of Costa Rica. And this voice said, go study down here with a different shaman. I'm like, okay. I went back again. I didn't know the name of the shaman. I didn't know what I was doing, where I was going, how we were going to get there, you know, but I had friends who were willing to tack along. And, you know, the lesson wasn't really that he taught me anything about using plant medicine or intuition. With us at the same time in the same lodge was a gentleman who was a crack addict. And the shaman charged me and my friends each $2 to work on us and to teach us something. He charged the crack addict $1,000. And later I said, why did you do that? He goes, he doesn't have enough money now to buy the crack. I'm like, wow, I don't know if I've ever told that story anywhere.
Wow.
What a life lesson. That's what I was taught. I wasn't taught how to, like, you know, kind of see visions of dead people.
Yeah, no.
Like, you know what? Sometimes you just have to be darn practical. And so I bet that crack addict was done with the crack, at least for a while.
At least for a while. What an amazing story.
Not cool.
It's like, wow. That is so cool. And that'll get you stimulated.
Yes.
Jeez. Well, we are unfortunately at that place where we have talked ourselves silly in a really wonderful way. And I always thoroughly enjoy this time with you. And I thank you and appreciate you so deeply for taking the time to be here with us today. Always a pleasure and always appreciate you. Just crazy good stuff. We'll have this amazing conversation about intuition as a gateway to simplicity. My hope is that through this, you've tapped into a little bit more of understanding about it, that you have potentially found a way that you can easily slide into changing that frequency, that you know that you can change, you can turn your dial whenever you're ready, and you just take your steps into it. And then those steps will lead to inspired action that will lead to more steps. And that inspired action is filled with intuition and filled with the energy that takes you to the next place. And know that the next place, like she said, is not necessarily going to be what you thought it was. But that's the joy of it, is it's not about what you think it is.
And then we get to laugh.
And then we get to laugh. And I love that. So, guys, have an amazing weekend. I appreciate you all being here. And I appreciate you all being a part of the show. We will see you next time for another amazing Adventures in Truth. Have a great day. And pardon me while I'm looking away to get my correct button this time. And we'll see you guys on the other side. I'll see you on the other side, Cindy. Thank you guys very much. Have an amazing night. Thanks. We'll see you next time. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. Check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.